This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
At the end of the game, your last offensive possession, what led to the decision to throw it three straight times? Was there any consideration in running the ball, particularly on first down?
Yeah, no, I think like in those situations, right, everything happens fast, naturally, right? You go from, you know, them going to kick it, and you're playing through all the scenarios of, okay, they make a field goal. How much time do we have left to be able to, hey, what players are we calling to be able to get down a field goal range? Then you get the intentional grounding. So you're trying to put together, okay, say they punt the ball and say it's a touchback. Hey, what plays you thinking? Boom. Now they punt it. You're getting inside the five, and there's a lot of communication going on naturally, right? You have, making sure that everybody's on the same page, and we had the communication, and we were lockstep in what we wanted to do, and it just it didn't work out in our favor, but I'm not going to second guess just because we didn't get the results in the game. And I don't think you can always judge the quality of a decision by the results. And, obviously I want to be able to win the football game, and, I wish for a different result, but I'm not going to second guess.
How about the type of passes that seem to be called not really short going for the first down, but instead going deep down the field? What led to those type of play calls in that situation?
Yeah, I think some of it were had, an underneath answer. And if you get a one-on-one, to potentially take the check. And, one of the plays, Josh kind of saw something and wanted to take advantage of it. And so I just got to continue to do a better job, in those situations of kind of talking through it. You'd love to be able to, you want to get a first down. That's the most important thing, and so us just being smart situationally in those of like, hey, the intent of kind of what we're trying to get done there, just be able to get out of the end zone. Just, it's a completely different mindset with where we are, and you can't have a holding penalty, and you don't want any negative plays to happen. So, if we're going to be aggressive there, we got to be smart with, the passes that we're doing. When you go incomplete and complete, it makes it real tough to have a third and 10, no matter where you are on the field, especially backed up in that situation, to be able to, go out and get a conversion. But, we're not looking to have every ball go, 50 yards downfield. I can help that with the play calls and the intent, and, we just got to do a better job executing.
And last one for me, Josh, struggling a bit yesterday. Did you feel like you went away from the running game perhaps a bit too early?
No, I think, look, some of the drives in the first half, we got a little behind the chains, a little off schedule, sometimes make it a little tougher to run the ball and or to stay, in a routine, in a rhythm. You got to get Josh back in, we missed a couple throws early that, you know, I think, you know, you hit the one to Mac Collins, you feel like you're in a better position. And so we were a little off in the pass game. And so, I think we made the adjustment in the second half. I would have liked to be able to, you know, sustain some of the drives. We got hit on the screen, you know, and, you know, towards the second to last drive, we got hit on the screen for a loss of 7, which again, put us behind the chains. And we didn't do a good enough job getting back in second and longs, and didn't do a good job on third down to allow us to be able to kind of stay with it. I thought we did a better job just kind of sticking with it and getting back into the game, you know, contrasting to the Baltimore game of being able to, hey, run the football, and you're going to have some bloody runs. There's going to be some ones that kind of everybody that you might be only to get 3 yards, but you got to make a living with it. And because it's going to open up later. And, you know, we just didn't get one that, you know, we felt like ended up popping on us, but I felt like it allowed us to get back into the football game. And, you know, we got to do a better job cleaning up the pass game, you know, so that, you know, as we're running the ball, we get the box that we want to be able to take advantage of it in the pass game.
On that 2nd and 10 play, you go deep on the first, you got the penalty there. What was said between you and Josh before he snapped the ball on that on second down?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into specifics with it. You know, at the end of the day, we just need to do a better job at, you know, just operating in those situations. There's a lot that goes on. I know it sounds like it's really easy, but, you know, you go from, you know, you're talking through all those situations just before the drive, and then there's no TV timeout. So you're going out on the field, and then just the guys having the right mindset and understanding, hey, are we trying to go for it right now? Are we going to run and play for overtime? What are we going to kind of do? So there's a lot that kind of goes on, a lot of communication that, you know, you're getting, we're getting from, you know, from Coach McDermott from up top, being able to relay to him to relay. There's a lot that kind of goes on down there. But to get into specifics of like, hey, what am I saying after each play? Probably won't get into that.
Yeah. And I know your clock is running, so you only have so much time to do all of that, you know, to get things right. But Coach, you had some nice plays, especially late in the game. You hit Mac Collins on that nice crosser underneath. Why not go back to that in that final possession?
Yeah, no, I think, when you're backed up, you got to be mindful of any of the plays, right? You know, it's you always got to be mindful of balls thrown inside over the middle and backed up, right? Because that's where you get tips. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you're backed up, sometimes you're thinking balls outside the numbers. You got to be mindful about how long you're holding on to the football because you don't got a lot of room back there. How long you get a holding penalty backed up with their pass rushers, you get a holding penalty, you know, it results in a safety. You know, so you got to be mindful of all those things. And so you're thinking if you are going to pass it, I know I did push the ball, but just the mindset of how long you're holding on to the football. So a lot of things, you know, I'm speaking out of kind of both sides of my mouth, but a lot of things that kind of go into each call, and within a short period of time and having to make it. And so, with the communication that's going on. And so, that's definitely something, you know, getting some more runaway routes, stuff that we kind of evaluate and going through everything, just coming back to plays like that.
Absolutely, Coach. And I know this is obviously your first time as OC being in this type of situation, right? So what's to learn from all of this here?
I mean, I've been in this before. This is the game of football, right? We started 0-2 and won the last three, we'd be feeling good right now. And so it's a good opportunity for us to kind of, hey, take a step back and, not point fingers, not try to figure out like, hey, the issues and let's, hey, come together, communication, collaboration. And it's a long season, right? You don't want these things to happen, but when they do, it's, hey, how do you respond to it? And there's never a lack of confidence, never a lack of urgency. You know, I feel good, and there's no overreaction, and I don't like the results of the game, but there's a lot of stuff that we're going to have to clean up regardless if we won the game. And so we're going to have the same mindset of, hey, what we got to clean up that we did after the Jacksonville game, after Miami, after Arizona, that we do right now. And we got to find ways to continue to improve to get to where we ultimately want to get to, and got a great opportunity next Monday night.
The franchise seemed to invest a lot into the two tight ends. And so far this season, it doesn't seem that Dawson Knox has been a big part of the offense. I think he only has 5 targets with 3 catches. Are you dissatisfied of the production of your tight ends so far?
No, I'm not dissatisfied. I'm always, you guys know one thing about me, right? It's if we're not producing, right, it's I always got to look myself in the mirror and point the thumb, right? And I have no issue saying that when our guys play well and guys are producing, I'm going to praise them. And when they're not, it's on me. And so, no matter whether it's out of our 12 personnel or 13 personnel, even shoot some of the wideouts on 11, you can't get everybody the ball, but I got to do a better job of I got to do a better job of us being able to move the football. And a guy like Dawson Knox helps us. And, you know, and so whether it's 12 personnel, whether it's 11, whoever it is, you know, we got to do what we got to do to be able to stay on the field, stay in manageable first and second downs and not be in these long third downs. I think that's been a big difference these past 2 weeks. And so something that 12 personnel, obviously something that we're going to look into and figure out, well, you know, is that something that gives us the best opportunity of success?
My last question to you, Coach, the last couple of weeks, your in-game adjustments have been very good. What do you have to do to get the offense going a little bit earlier in the game to have more success at the beginning of the game rather than coming from behind, even though it is a good thing that you make the in-game adjustments for the team during the course of the game, but you just came up a little short yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, I definitely didn't do a good enough job against Baltimore with that mindset. You know, I would like to have been able to get to that a little earlier. Same thing yesterday. And that doesn't mean, hey, we just got to get to the run game. It's more about seeing how the game's being played and, how we're doing with certain concepts and whatnot. And, you know, we came out of halftime, with a mindset of, hey, what we were going to need to do to win that football game. And I thought the guys did a good job. And you know, those first two drives, to find a way to get down and get points. You know, but it's always best when we start fast, right? We obviously fumbled the first drive against Arizona, you know, which wasn't good. We scored on the first two drives, you know, first drive against Miami, first drive against Jacksonville. It does a great job for energy. You know, it helps set the tone, especially when the offense is out on the field first. I don't want our guys thinking, hey, it's 0-2 and you got two strikes at the plate. Like if we don't score or we don't get the first downs that, oh man, it's going to be a long game. But 2-3 and outs the last 2 weeks isn't good enough. It's not who we are. And, you know, so we got to do a better job just coming out. And we've had two on schedule second down and third down calls on the first drive of the game. So it's not like we've been living in third and 10. And so we have to do a better job at that. I got to do a better job of making sure that, you know, we stay on the field, because when we stay on the field, good things happen.
With Ty Johnson running, averaging 5 yards a carry yesterday, and Cook averaging 4.1 yards per carry. Just wondering, with Cook, why possibility of Cook getting more a zone, more outside zone plays for James Cook, because he's a speedier receiver, running back, and Ty Johnson is more of a bruising back. Why is it possible for those guys to have more inside runs for Johnson and more outside zone plays for James Cook?
Yeah, I think, you know, a big thing with our running backs, while they are different, we feel that our running backs, you know, can kind of really do all the runs. So it's not, hey, this guy's on the field, he can only do this scheme. You know, the same runs that, you know, that Ty ran yesterday, you know, Jimbo got those same type of runs. Ty did a great job on the one to start the second half, being able to kind of pop it. So we wanted to kind of stick with him on that. But I feel confident with whoever's running the football. You know, with the way that our guys are kind of playing, and you know, they're doing such a good job of, and we're just got to continue to find ways to get better at just understanding how the offensive linemen are approaching the blocks. You know, and so the running backs, a lot of people think that when you're running the football, it just has to do with the offensive line and seeing it, but just understanding, hey, when it's an under front, when it's three technique, this is how we're going to approach it to be able to set this up. And so we're just going to continue to find ways to get better so that we're all on the same page, regardless of who's running it.
Yes, indeed. And down there in the last drive, I'm just wondering why both of those guys, Johnson and Cook, weren't in. And even if you're going to throw, at least give them the illusion that you could might run the football. And especially with those guys averaging that kind of run, why didn't they run the ball from your own 2 yard line or deep in your own territory?
Yeah, no. I mean, there was a running back in the game. You know, so there always is that illusion. And obviously the passes didn't work. And so, you know, hindsight, you love to be able to say, hey, you know, should have given the ball and be able to go get the first down and see in overtime.
Yeah. From the press box, looking down there, so the running back was on the outside. It was nobody in the backfield on none of those three plays.
Yeah.
Am I correct on that?
Sure. Second down, they were an empty on second down. First down and third down, there's a running back in the backfield. But at the end of the day, it didn't make a difference because we threw the ball.
Right. Was that your call, or does the head coach override you on late in the game like that?
We're always lockstep with our communication.
Okay, so you were lockstep and agreed on not running the football.
Whatever ends up going, we're all on the same page with.
Okay, great. And one last question to follow up on what Mr. Freeman had mentioned about Dawson Knox. And with the two tight end system, is there any chance that I see you with Zach Davidson and also Quentin Morris already in the lineup about maybe switching it up with some of these because Knox, I don't see any targets to him yesterday and very few in the last previous weeks. Is it possible looking at that position for a possible shakeup?
No. We have full confidence in Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid, Q Morris. You know, Zach Davidson's a guy that, you know, if need be, we'd feel confident in him being able to play, being on the practice squad. But no, I have no, I believe in Dawson Knox. I know the type of football player he is. And he's just, got to find ways to get the ball in his hands because he's been able to have success his career here. And we got to do a better job with that with him.
If we can go back to the beginning here, you said that, you know, everybody was in lockstep with the decision making. Sean seemed very much to be second guessing things after the game yesterday. Can you take me into why you feel like everybody was in lockstep when it seemed like Sean kind of came out and second guessed it and said he should have done things differently after the game?
Yeah, I mean, look, we go through, you know, when we go through everything after a drive of making sure, like, there's, you know, there is no decisions. When I mean, like, there's no second guessing, like, in drives. It's, you know, if this is what we want to do, it's that's an easy, you know, if we were like, hey, we're just going to run the ball every single snap, and we would have been lockstep in whatever we ended up deciding on doing. And so, I never second guess a head football coach. And that's not to say that I wasn't the ones making the decision. Like, we're having that active communication together. And if it's not working, it's on me. Right. And so, that opportunity comes up again, you know, hope we handle that, hope we handle that differently.
When the Stephon Diggs trade happened in the offseason, and then as this team kind of was shaped, especially at the receiver position with him and Gabe being gone, you know, there was a percentage of the fan base that was, you know, panicking about what this thing was going to look like through the first three games. To your earlier point, you know, you guys won a lot of games. The offense was very successful. What do you say to that part of the fan base that has this concern about the lack of production from the receivers, especially the last 2 weeks, and how this thing has looked most recently?
Yeah, I mean, when you lose two games, there's always going to be concern. But inside this building, there's not, right? Inside this building, we believe in who we have. We believe in the unit. We believe in the room. We believe the guy that's throwing the football. And we believe we'll be able to get open. And that's a constant theme. And that's not just words. That's belief. And we'll continue working. And like I said, the sky hasn't fallen. We've lost two games, and I don't want to lose football games. I'm a competitor, and I don't sleep when we lose a game, much less two in a row. And we got to make sure that we're fixing what needs to be fixed. We're not just changing things just to change it, and we're finding solutions to some of the things that are consistently showing up. But there's the belief, the confidence, the moxie, like none of that's changing in here, and we know who we have. And we just got to make sure we go out there and execute at a higher level.
Was yesterday maybe an indication of how valuable Khalil is to as a security blanket to this offense, given that he wasn't on the field and there were Josh had that type of a performance, 9 for 30?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you lose one of your better players, it's definitely not fun, right? But part of who we are as a football team, right? We show it on defense is we're not only about one player. And there's a reason we built, Bean did a great job putting this team together, is that, when we say everyone eats, it's because of the mindset of, hey, if a guy's not there, that someone's going to be able to step up. And, I don't think Josh's performance, while that those numbers should not happen, and can happen with, I don't think it's, hey, because Khalil Shakir wasn't there. And, we have full belief that, and the guys that, that were out there on field yesterday, and we just got to do a better job of executing.
In your first answer about not second guessing, even if you don't get the results. Given that the end of the game situation failed the way that it did and, contributed to costing you guys the game. I mean, how do you not second guess that naturally?
Yeah. When I say second guess, I'm not second guessing like in the moment. So, like, you always take a step back after a game, like, no matter what of a call, you're looking back. Is that the right decision? Is it the right call? You're doing that for everything. I'm saying is, like, in a moment when it's like, hey, we're going to do this, I'm not calling it with the, oh, man, I hope, what should I do? And then I move on to the next one. Like, yeah, So when I say the second guessing, that's not a, hey, we did it. There's no, I'm good. That's what we did. Like, we're always going to take a step back and, sit there and say, hey, was that the best thing that we could have done? If we get this opportunity again, what would we do? If it shows up, we're having all those conversations again. So when I say the second guessing, that's not, I probably should have worded it in a different way of, when we say we're going to do something, this is what we're going to do. There's no second guessing in the moment. I believe that the players feel that, and that's just not who we are. In our communication as a coaching staff, after the game, we can sit back and reflect and figure out what we can do differently, or whether we like it or what we can do differently. Obviously, the result isn't what we wanted, and so we have to just continue to evaluate that.
Yeah. So when you asked yourself those questions, what were the answers that you came up with today?
Yeah, I think you naturally you love to be able to get the get the clock running, make them have to use timeouts, right? I think that's important, where they're not in that situation then. The biggest thing is we got to get the first down, right? And, there's a big difference in going for the win and going for, hey, get the first down and let's be able to, A, let's see what happens, but B, let's get into overtime, right? And so, I can get a lot more specifics with it, but, I don't think you always just second guess a decision because it doesn't work, but you do always have to go back and reflect and say, hey, if this came up again, how would we do it differently? And, that's something that we're obviously going through.
I asked you last week about Curtis, and obviously with Khalil being out, his role expanded. The results, still weren't there in, to the point where he even lost your yardage when you combine his the rushing attempt and receptions. I'm just struggling to understand. I mean, you guys brought this guy here. You know him well. You've had success with him in the past. I know you said last week you took ownership of it, that you had to do a better job, but there just seems to be a disconnect between what he's being asked to do and, what he's producing on the field. How do you guys fix that as quickly as possible?
Yeah, no, it's something that, we have to find a way, especially in a game like that, with Khalil being out, you'd like for us to, obviously we didn't do a good job passing the football as it was yesterday, and, making life a little easier on getting the ball in some speed and space and allowing us to do some things. And, he's not only a wide receiver that's catching balls on hand line of scrimmage. And so you got to make sure that I'm calling some of those plays and that we're, able to get the ball in his hands and allow him to do what I've known and I've been a part of and seen him be able to do. And not where it feels like when he's out there, it's forced. Because it's not that, but I know it can sometimes feel that way based upon how he might be being utilized. And so something that, we're going through with everybody, right? You got 5 games on tape now, making sure that we're using guys the way that, in the correct way. Guys are buying into exactly how we're doing things and, that we're putting the best 11 out there, for any given play.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com